Hi, everyone. I'm Vincent Joe.
Hi, I'm Kathy Reed.
And I'm Allison Reed.
Hi, I'm Ashley.
Hi, I'm Grace.
We're from the Haydenettes.
I am Mark Henretti.
Ciao a tutti, siamo Rebecca Ghirardi.
E Filippo Ambrosini.
E vi diamo il benvenuto a
This Weekend Skating.
Welcome to This Week in Skating, the weekly podcast bringing you the latest news from the world of figure skating. Here are your hosts, Daphne, Gina, and Matteo.
And we're back! And Four Continents is taking place this week. In addition to that, we have the Road to 26 test event for the 26 Winter Olympics.
Yes.
And Matteo's going to be there, yes. So it's going to be great. Yeah.
Yes. I hope you can all feel the excitement.
Yeah, we told him before we started recording that he needed to get us photos of, like, anything that showed the Olympics. Like, anything with the mascots or the 1 year to go. We need to see what things are looking like in Milan, so...
Make sure you check up our social media.
He's not only covering the event, he's also giving us a report on what things are looking like for Milan next year.
Yes.
Yes. It's going to be so exciting. It's kind of crazy. Gina and Matteo and I were talking before we started recording that we have Four Continents this week, directly followed by the World Junior Championships next week. And that's not usually how it goes.
No, I don't like this.
No.
I need a week in between. Too much to get to.
Four Continents is late this year. I think last year it was so close to the U.S. Championships. It was too close. Well, this year it's quite a bit later than last year. And so we're faced with the back-to-back competitions. And we're winding the season down at least for... singles, pairs, and ice dance. We've only got a couple of ISU championship events left, and then that season will be over. But we still have synchro going. Solo dance is starting the 1st of March, so we'll definitely be keeping busy.
Yeah, because if we look at the calendar, we're like almost a month away to Worlds. Yes.
Yes.
We're excited so about excited. That. I know... We're a little bummed that not all three of us are going to be at Worlds, but...
I know.
No. But we're going to arrange to catch up with each other throughout the week.
Yeah.
We're going to figure it out. We'll get the time difference. Sometimes work gets in the way, and there are things that need to be taken care of. And so Matteo is needed on his job, so we are... going to miss him, but we'll definitely be keeping in touch with him.
And if anyone has got a secret out there to make sure that we can be allowed to work, earn our money, to then do our skating stuff, and go to every competition we want to go to, please get in touch because we want to know the secret. But as of now,
yes,
we do our best, but sometimes it doesn't really work as we wish it would.
No. Yeah. We were going to call Matteo's place of employment and say he needs to be in Boston, but I don't think that was going to work, and we want Matteo to have his job still, too.
Yes. You know what? When you're good at your job, you're in demand and needed, and that's what happens. So sometimes these things just don't work out, and in this case, it didn't. But we look forward to seeing him at a competition at some point in the future, so we're definitely looking forward to that. One other thing that we need to mention is that it was 64 years ago this weekend that the 1961 plane crash took place. This was when the U.S. team was on their way to the World Championships and the plane crashed and all lives were lost. So we just wanted to take a moment and point that out and remember the victims and... it's an important thing, I think, to mark the occasion to remember those that we lost. The crash changed things for U.S. figure skating because the best and brightest and hopes for the 1962 Olympics were on that flight. So it was rebuilding after that.
Well, moving on to general skating news... U.S. Figure Skating announced that Teams Elite and Skyliners will represent Team USA at the ISU World Junior Synchronized Skating Championships, which is taking place March 7th to the 8th in Gothenburg, Sweden. Both teams will be strong contenders for the podium and have previously medaled at the World Junior Championship. So we have that coming up right after. Actually, I believe this is like the week after U.S. Synchros. So they have to go compete at U.S. Synchros and then they go to the World Junior Championships. It's crazy. It's going to be a busy couple of weeks. So.
Yeah, and this will be the week after the World Junior Figure Skating Championships, too. So, like, as far as our schedule, it's just going to keep going. And I know Gina will be watching and bringing us some information on World Junior Synchro so that we can talk about the performances there. Well, if you can't make it to Washington, D.C. for Legacy on Ice Show, there's good news. The show is going to be streamed live on Peacock on Sunday, March 2nd, and then broadcast again on NBC on Sunday, March 30th. Again, this is the show that will benefit U.S. Figure Skating's Family Support Fund, as well as, I believe, two other funds for victims of Flight 5342 that crashed on January 29th.
Only the 400 level tickets, so the arena is pretty much full for that event, which is really good.
Wow.
I just checked today to see what tickets look like, and there's just the last few rows of that 400 level, so it's going to be a full arena, which is great. I will be there. I'm looking forward to it. I know a lot of other people are planning to go. And if you're not able to go, it's great that it's going to be streamed live at 3 o'clock on March 2nd. And then it'll be rebroadcasted on NBC, which on March 30th is actually the day of the gala for the World Championship. So I'm not sure if they're putting it with additional coverage, after coverage of Worlds or something like that. So
Liam Kapikis has replaced Daniel Martinov in the men's field at the Road 26 competition, and the Tashlers have withdrawn from the ice dance event, being replaced by a second Italian ice dance team.
2002 Olympic champion Sarah Hughes was announced as a board member of the organizing committee for the 2034 Olympic Winter Games in Salt Lake City, Utah.
And then finally, Spanish pair skater Laura Baquero has been suspended for 6 years, February 2022 through 2028, for testing positive for Clostebol, a banned substance. Now, she tested positive during the Beijing Winter Olympics. Initially, the ISU and Baquero had agreed to a one-year suspension, which would have allowed her to return to competition immediately. However, the World Anti-Doping Agency appealed this decision to the Court of Arbitration for Sport, seeking a longer ban. Consequently, Baquero and her partner, Marco Zandron, were unable to compete at the 2022 World Championships. After two seasons without competition, Zandron announced in July 2024 that their partnership had ended. Zandron is now skating with Brooke McIntosh for Spain, and Baquero is no longer skating and is instead focusing on going to school.
So she posted a video today on her Instagram and on the Spanish Federation where she takes all the time that she needs to take to open up about the story, which she's never really done before. So I had listened to the video, and there are quite a few things that came up that I would like to share with everyone. So she was talking about the dynamics of how everything happened, the shock of coming back from the Olympic Games and having a notification about a positive result that she was sure was impossible because she did not know, and she was sure that she did not have any substance that was illegal being taken. So the test was showing exposure to a type of substance that is called Clostebol, which is commonly used in Italy for dermatological ones on the skin, in a cream containing it that is called trofodermin. So what she was thinking is that probably someone in her team, training team, used that, and then she touched the person, or the person touched her, or maybe there was a surface that the person touched and then Laura put her end on. But the exposure was just accidental and not intentional. And also she wanted to check with scientists to have a confirmation of what was happening. So she went through quite advanced tests, actually using the hair rather than urine or blood. And the reason why she was doing that is that by using a sample of hair, there is a more exhaustive result that gives a chronological picture of what the person has admitted, because she was explaining that the hair actually retained a memory of what the body has and had entering into one's person. So the test was showing that the substance was just a result of an incident rather than something that was intentionally done. And that it was in such a tiny amount, which is 0.5 nanograms, which is quite difficult to comprehend, but it was very, very minuscule and definitely not something that would have helped Laura to enhance her performance at competition. Despite of that, she accepted the first sentence. When they were trying to come back a year later, they were getting ready for the World Championships in Japan. And she also had another test that was showing that the substance was still coming up, which is quite shocking. She was quite shocked about it because she said, hold on a second, I was really living in a bubble almost because I was so mindful of what I went through and I did not want that to come back. But yes, again, that happened again. And here I am having a result that I'm not able to justify. So because of that, of course, they couldn't go to the World Championships. And then the partnership eventually ended up breaking up and not continuing from a competitive perspective. And she went through quite a lot. She said that when the news came out the first time, there were news online that were reporting something that was not reflecting the real state of things, saying that she got exposed in a certain way when it was not the actual fact. She said that she saw a lot of hate online and she had to go through all of that, but she also had a lot of support as well, which is of course good to hear, because that's what you would like. It's a very tough situation for a professional to have a result like that you try to challenge because you have no clue how you got exposed to a certain substance. And yet the regulation in the anti-doping world is there to be applied when a case like this comes up. What she's trying to say is that she is definitely she definitely understands that and believes in anti-doping, but she's saying that the rules are quite disproportioned and rigid. And although they try to be fair, they do not apply the same way or in a way that looks fair, because in a situation like hers, where she claims to have been exposed to something indirectly, the punishment seems to be far greater than the actual event in itself that leads to a decision like that. We know that there's also a lot of debate online in terms of a tennis player, number one tennis player, Jannik Sinner, having a similar type of incident happening. So he also got exposed to a substance like Laura Barquero that was found in his doping test in a very minuscule amount. But the difference between Laura and Jannik Sinner is that Laura got 6-year suspension, while Jannik Sinner only got 3 months. And it's actually, some would say, it's a break in between his last big major competition and the next one, which is going to be the Rome tennis event. And so bearing in mind that this is fresh news and we are trying to find out as much as we can, but this is something that came out a few hours before recording this episode. What I also found is a comparison between a recent sentence from WADA applied to Jannik Sinner, which is tennis number one player in the world. So Jannik Sinner had a similar case of exposure, indirect exposure to a substance that entered in the system. However, the difference is in the punishment. Jannik Sinner only has a 3-month suspension. And actually, some argue that a suspension is timed in such a way that allows him to not worry too much about competitions, because it's between his last big tournament and the next one that he's going to play in, while Laura Barquera's got a 6-year suspension for something that looks similar. The World Anti-Doping Agency argument in relation to this is that the difference lies in the fact that Jannik Sinner was able to pinpoint the exact event that he said led to the substance being exposed, while Laura Barquero cannot clearly demonstrate how she got in touch with the substance. Now, the question is, if she's not sure of how the exposure happened, how can she prove that? And if it's still exposure, it's a minimal amount. It does not interfere with the way she would have performed. Why is she still punished with a 6-year sentence? That's the big argument out there now. We are definitely sorry for Laura, because she was a promising skater. Her career is now over. But what she wants to do by coming out with this video that she did today is to start a debate about, are rules applied by the World Anti-Doping Agency fair and fairly applied? And we'll leave the question open, but surely something will be triggered and debates will start from this.
We will link to Laura's video in the show notes. In addition, Jessica Callalang, former Team USA figure skater, wrote on Instagram a message of support for Laura, and Laura reached out to her when this began 3 years ago. Jessica had tested positive for a banned substance herself in 2021. She was cleared by both USADA and the World Anti-Doping Agency. It's great to see the camaraderie continue despite athletes being retired and no longer competing. It just further goes to show how special the skating community really can be.
Well, moving on to event results, we had a few events taking place this past week. We'll start with the 9th Asian Winter Games. Both Yuma Kageyama and Kaori Sakamoto had the lead after their short programs, but both had falls in their free skates to drop to second overall, so some surprising results there. Junwan Cha took the gold in the men's event, and with his win, he earned exemption from Korean military conscription. So for the men, gold was Junwan Cha, silver was Yuma Kageyama, and bronze went to Mikhail Shaderov. Women, gold went to Shaeyon Kim of Korea, silver Kaori Sakamoto, and bronze Hana Yoshida.
At Challenge Cup, there were only 3 competitors in the men's event. Gold went to Sena Miyake of Japan, silver went to Donovan Carrillo of Mexico, and bronze went to Mark Goranitsky of Israel. In the women's event, it was a Japan sweep as Rinkik Watanabe took the gold, followed by Ryan Sumiyoshi in silver medal position and Meiko Yamashita in bronze. In pairs event, Georgia's Anastasia Metelkina and Luka Barulova took the gold, followed by Daria Danilova and Michelle Siba of the Netherlands, and bronze went to Yulia Chetachina and Mikhail Wozniak of Poland. In ice dance, Loisia Demoje and Theo Lemercier won gold, while Yuko Urahara and Juho Perinen of Finland took silver, and the bronze went to Natasha Lagouche and Arnaud Kaffa of France. Links to the results, including junior events, will be in our show notes.
Helvius Cup, a synchro competition, took place this past week. Senior Select, gold went to Team Hayden Select of the U.S. Silver, Team Elite 12 of the U.S. Bronze went to Team Berlin of Germany. In the junior event, gold went to Team Northernets. Silver went to Team Ice Ignite of Canada. Bronze went to Team Gold Ice of Canada. And Advanced Novice went to Team Ice Energy of Finland.
We'll have a link to this event as well as other events, including Tallinn Hotels Cup, Merano Trophy, Scream Cup, which is a synchro event, and 2025 European Youth Olympic Festival in our show notes.
Moving on to upcoming events for the week, we have 4 continents in Seoul, Korea. We've got, in the men's event, Japan is sending Kao Miura, Kazuki Tomono, and Tatsuya Saboi. Junhua Cha is competing in back-to-back events. as is Mikhail Shadarov of Kazakhstan. The U.S. is sending Jimmy Ma, Tomoki Iwatashi, and Camden Pulkkinen. In the women's event, Japan's Wakaba Higuchi and Mone Chiba look to stand on top of the medal podium, but they will face off against Chaeyoung Kim of Korea. Alyssa Liu, Brady Tennell, and Sarah Everhart are the three skaters from Team USA.
For the pairs, Canada's Deanna Stiletto-Dudek and Maxim Deschamps, as well as Riku Mura and Ryuichi Kiara of Japan. We have 2025 U.S. champions Elisa Efimova and Misha Mitrofanov, and 2024 U.S. champions Ellie Kam and Danny O'Shea competing. And in ice dance, Madison Chalk and Evan Bates of the U.S. will face off against Canada's Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier. Also, Marjorie Lajoie and Zachary Laga of Canada, and Christina Carrera and Anthony Pomarenko of the United States.
As we said, this week it's also the Road to 26 Olympic test event in Milan. So we are going to be at the Olympic venue, and we are going to see in the men's category 12 men competing, including Sota Yamamoto of Japan, Nicolai Memola of Italy, Kevin Amos of France, Denis Vasiliev of Latvia, and Mikhail Selenko of Estonia. In the women's, 12 women, including European champion Nina Petrokina of Estonia, Hana Yoshida of Japan, Lara Naki-Gutman of Italy, and the return of Isabelle Levito of the USA, which I saw she was already there with Nicolai Memola and other skaters. I love that they all get together pre-competitions.
Yeah, she was there also doing promotion for NBC. Her and her mom did like some food tasting with the Today Show. So she was there already promoting the Olympics. So,
and there's this beautiful photo of Isabel in front of the Duomo Cathedral of Milan, which I definitely recommend you go and find if you haven't looked at it yet, because it's beautiful. So in the pairs, we have 8 teams, including Rebecca Ghilardi and Filippo Ambrosini of Italy, and Katy McBeath and Daniel Parkman. In the ice dance, we have 8 teams, including Julia Turkila and Mattia Versluis of Finland, Caroline Green and Michael Parsons of the United States, and Phoebe Becker and James Hernandez of Great Britain. Also taking place this week will be the Bellu Memorial 2025, which will be taking place in Bucharest, Romania.
Well, we have quite a few online updates. First, Yilan Kim announced on Instagram that she is retiring from competitive skating, so wishing her all the best in her future endeavors.
So, unfortunately, Natalia Palou and Jayan Panesar of Brazil have had to withdraw from 4 continents. They had a collision with another team in a warm-up at Enya Trophy, and it resulted in Natalia fracturing her knee. We're wishing them the best as she recovers and hope to see them back in tip-top shape for next season.
Well, we're also sending best wishes to newly crowned European champion Lukasz Brzyski, who posted that he had an accident on the ice last week and had to get 5 stitches. But the wound got infected and he had to undergo a small surgery, and he won't be able to train for 2 weeks, but he hopes to still be able to compete at Worlds. So we'll send our best wishes to Lukasz, so we hope to see him in Boston in the month, in a month away from now.
And also birthday wishes, because as we are recording, it's his birthday, so double wishes. What a different birthday to spend at the hospital.
I know.
No one wants to do that.
Mason Sheen and Morgan Laliberté-Laurent are a new junior team representing France. Morgan was the 2024 Canadian novice champion with Alison Lacombe. Mason previously skated with Lucas Chateauneuf, who finished 9th at the 2024 French Junior Nationals.
Well, congratulations are in order to Maxine Weatherby and Sasha Kolosovsky. They are an ice dance team that represents Azerbaijan, and they recently got engaged.
U.S. ice dancers Emily Renzi and William Lassauer have ended their partnership, as William is retiring to focus on college. Emily will look for a new partner, and we're wishing them all of the best in their future endeavors. Hope Emily is able to find a partner and get back on the ice real soon, and all the best to William as he pursues his education. They really had a good season this year, and it's sad to see them, go their separate ways, but best of luck to the both of them.
And Congratulations to Olympic figure skater Soo-yeon Park of Korea. She and Misha G tied the knot on Saturday, and Soo-yeon shared a bunch of photos on her Instagram stories. So we want to wish them a big congratulations. We have a few articles that we want to share today. Usually we're only going to share one, but there are a few things that were out last week that I think are important to mention. The first one is Gender Power and the Culture of Pairs. It's, I believe, the third in a three-part series that Anna has been doing over at Anything GOE's. There's a lot of stuff in there to unpack and a lot of insight. So I recommend definitely checking it out. It applies to pairs, but I think some of it can also apply to singles and dance and other disciplines as well.
Madison Hubble and Gabriella Papadakis have a podcast interview with the Future of Skater Figure Skating podcast. Again, Anna was at the Arts on Ice event in Switzerland, where Papadakis and Hubble skated together, breaking usual patterns that we have in figure skating and making history. So it's quite an interesting interview to get more of an understanding of how they decided to and why they decided to do what they're doing and what they're hoping to achieve with it.
Yeah, and I understand she took some excerpts of that and put it into an article that she's calling A Subtle Revolution at Art on Ice, that's about this unique partnership.
Well, the Japan Times did an article with Mao Asada about how she is setting out to safeguard the future of figure skating. And then another article wanted to mention, FSO's Mara Sullivan Hill wrote a piece for WBUR, which is the NPR station in Boston. And it is about the skating community and the Flight 5342, and the 28 members of the skating community that we lost. It was a really good piece that she did, and we wanted to share that as well.
Well, you know that we like to end every episode by shining a lens on what's going on at our respective websites.
So starting with This Week in Skating, don't forget to check our merchandise available on our Swag page, and also you can join our Patreon for access to ad-free episodes. And as I said, I'm going to be at the Road to 26 Olympic Test event. Now, just a little thing to mention, when it comes to certain events, media reporting is not as immediate as you might think. So if you do not see content coming out immediately on Twiz, do not worry, they're going to be there at some point. I just need to understand, what can I do at the Olympic events? Because we all want to be careful, particularly when it comes to that type of accreditation. But you will definitely see something from it. And as I promise, I'm going to report next week in terms of what I saw there and all the little secrets that I'm going to find out when I'm there.
Well, over at IDC, I have added all of the solo dance events that are part of the National Qualifying Series for Solo to the IDC calendar. There's very little info other than dates and locations, but I will be adding to that as we get into it. Also this week, and I think Gina's probably expecting the same things, we've got photos coming from Four Continents and the Road to 26 competition as well.
Yes, yep. Definitely expecting that. I also have Scott is going to be in Korea for Four Continents. So he's going to do some reporting. So yeah, a lot of stuff coming from Four Continents and the Road to 26. And I also put a link to Mara's article that I just mentioned on the FSO site. So if you miss it in the show notes, you can just go right to the homepage of Figure Skaters Online, and there is a link to go to her article there. So
wow. Well, this has been a busier episode of This Week in Skating. And next week, we'll be talking about the results from Four Continents and giving you our little preview of the World Junior Championships, as well as, I believe, the U.S. National Synchro.
Yes!
Event.
Yes!
So, yeah, it's all a go for the next probably 5 or 6 weeks.
I felt like we had a little break. I mean, maybe not a complete break, because it just with everything that was going on. And now I'm like,
yeah.
Whoa, everything is like coming all at once.
Yep. Things sneak up on you sometimes.
Yes.
Well, we'll be back at it next week, so we'll see you then.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of This Week in Skating. Remember, you can keep up with us throughout the week by visiting our website at www.thisweekinskating.com. Connect with us on social media for additional updates. You can find us on Twitter at This Week in Skating without the E's, or Facebook, Instagram, and Threads at This Week in Skating. You got a burning question or feedback for Gina, Daphne, or Mateo? Reach out to us via social media or drop us an email at thisweekinskating@gmail.com. And if you're really enjoying the show and want to support us further, consider joining our Patreon community at patreon.com/thisweekinskating. Until next time, have a nice week.
My name is Giorgio Settis. I'm the co-founder of Nutrafol. My hair started thinning in my early 20s. I tried everything and nothing was really working. So we created Nutrafol. Our hair growth supplements undergo clinical trials and have helped millions of men and women get visibly thicker and stronger hair in just 3 to 6 months.
Hair growth starts from the inside at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com.